time's up. Actually, I'm still on California time, so by my watch, we still have 2 hours for the sermon. Go. No, I am going to... Yes. We are going to have an abbreviated time studying today. But one of the things I do want to say, which I know I've said before, but I want to say it again. When we end up using a whole lot of time on prayer, we're not wasting time. And for whether you're the person offering a prayer request or you're the person up here getting ready to lead in prayer, I will never resent us spending time sharing and praying together. So nobody ever has to worry that that's somehow a bother for me. I may end up still preaching for an hour, but it won't bother me. And we can send out for... In fact, that would always be good by me. And then I could preach another hour without any guilt. Okay. We are going to continue with Romans 8, but not this morning. I want to look for a few moments, and I really do mean that, a few moments. In Matthew 25, Jesus is in the process of teaching his disciples a variety of pictures and images to help us understand the kingdom of God and to understand what matters in the kingdom and understand our place in that kingdom. So starting in verse 14 of Matthew 25, he says this: "For the kingdom of God is like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up, brought 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, "Master, you entrusted 2 to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." But his master answered and said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, the reason I'm reading that passage is because of all the things that that have just happened in the past week and a half. And being there for Carrie's Aunt Virginia's funeral has really brought right there in front of me an awareness of the kingdom of God. And today is not a tribute to Aunt Virginia, but Aunt Virginia's life gave tribute to Jesus Christ. And part of what struck me, I knew Virginia for about 37 years, and I knew a few slices of her life. I knew how generous she had been with Carrie and I at different moments of need in our life, and generous even when there was no need. just to be generous. And I knew the role of encouragement and the role of support and the role of love and compassion she had shared with a few individuals who really needed that love and compassion. But one of the things that came out during this process of preparing for her memorial service and talking to family and preparing to speak at this was trying to gather more information than what I knew. And part of what came out was how many people had one slice. How many people knew this portion of Virginia's generosity and her love and her sacrifice and her care? And the amazing thing about this service was it allowed so many people, I think there were 150 people there, to share together the story of Jesus Christ working in Virginia's life. Now, I won't give a whole lot of family detail, but that wasn't the plan for this service. That wasn't the original plan for this service. And yet God accomplished that. That Jesus Christ could receive glory in that. And one of the things we were this morning, we were reading up in Ecclesiastes, in the upper room with the teenagers, reading in Ecclesiastes 12, where he says, "Now remember Jesus Christ in the days of your youth, while you're strong." And he gives all these metaphors for old age and decrepitness and regret and sorrow and then finally death. And the wisdom of Solomon saying, don't wait for that day to choose God. Don't wait for that day. Choose Him now. I have a secret for all of you. Today is the youngest you're ever going to be. For the rest of your life. I've never thought of it that way. This is the youngest you're going to be for the rest of your life. So remember Him in your youth. With that recognition, now is when I'm choosing for that arrival in His kingdom. Right now is when I'm preparing the legacy that others will celebrate Jesus Christ, that when I leave planet Earth, they won't just be remembering Reg or Al or Bob or Larry or Jason. They won't just be remembering you, the person. Because one of the things we saw at this gathering is that almost everybody who had anything to say about Virginia had to talk about her faith in Jesus Christ. And it didn't matter whether they were a believer, it didn't even matter if they were opposed to the gospel. They had to give credit where credit was due. That it was her faith in Jesus Christ that made her so compassionate. It was her faith in Jesus Christ that made her so generous. This is not something that would be normally known by anybody, and it couldn't, in fact, be known until someone else had to process her stuff after her death. Virginia gave away over 50% of her income. Now, I'm not there yet. Virginia gave away over 50% of her income, and some of it was ministries in the church, but a lot of it was just individuals in need that she knew personally. So I know of at least three or four people that I've now got to meet to find out what was going on in their lives and the challenges they were facing, to know Virginia heard about that challenge and she didn't say, be warm, be fed. What she said is, well, what's the gap between what you have and what you need? And then she went and prayed and consulted and looked at her checkbook and wrote the check. All of you can't write the check. That's not the point. Because one of the things that this passage we just read in Matthew 25 says is, God distributes to you according to your ability. And your ability isn't the same as Virginia's. And it isn't the same as the person sitting next to you. The point isn't the ability. The point is who you bring it to. Who you submit it to. Which kingdom you're living for. Which legacy. Which kingdom you want your legacy to be known in. So there's two aspects to this. One is Jesus saying, at the end of a life where you've lived for my kingdom, you have this anticipation of God saying, well done, good and faithful servant. And I remember at my mom's memorial service, similar to Virginia's memorial service, where so many people came up and told me things about my mom I didn't know. A multitude of sacrifices, a multitude of helps, a multitude of encouragements that Mom never came to me and said, oh, by the way, Reg, I need to pat myself on the back and tell you about this. She never did that. But life after life, where somebody was encouraged and somebody was moved forward in their walk with God, or somebody was brought back into their walk with God from a place of discouragement or rebellion or feeling abandoned and unloved, where this tiny little 4 foot 11, I think on her tall days, 4 foot 11, this tiny little woman had a large impact in the kingdom of God. And quiet Virginia was a quiet person, very unassuming, but she had a large impact in the kingdom of God and into hundreds of lives. Only a small gathering were there for this memorial service. That we were getting information from people literally all around planet Earth saying, Virginia touched my life, I wish I could be there. And the point of this, again, isn't so that we honor Virginia, but so that we understand that Jesus Christ dwelling in your life gives you the authority and the power to multiply effectiveness in the kingdom of God. Right where you are, your circle of friends, your circle of abilities, your circle of gifts, your circle of friendships and contacts. You don't need mine, and I don't need yours, and you don't need the same stuff as the person next to you. That God has powerfully equipped you in your circle to powerfully and radically change some human lives because you decide you belong to this kingdom instead of the earthly kingdom. That gets to be a choice we make. I know I've said this before somewhere back there, you know, I'm very unaware of when and why I say things, but I do remember saying this, that death is a good counselor. That if I can anticipate the moment of my death, and Ecclesiastes gives us this point, I didn't originate it, and if I can let that moment of death be a wise counselor for me, and I look back and say, at the point of death, what will I wish I was looking back on? At the point of death, when I'm ready to enter this kingdom, what will I wish I had invested in? What impact will I wish I had had in the lives of my children, or the lives of my parents, or the lives of a friend? What impact will I wish to have had in my community? And that my future death gets to be a wise counselor because it changes what I choose today. I don't wait for that moment, as Ecclesiastes said, to be a moment of regret. I prepare for that moment to be a moment of anticipation. This is not pride or arrogance, what I'm getting ready to describe. Every one of you, every single one of you who belongs to Jesus Christ should be on your deathbed with joyful anticipation. Not because you think you're going to enter His presence and brag, but because you know you've chosen Him and you've lived for His kingdom. And whether you're bringing 2 talents, 5 talents, 10 talents, 1,000 talents that you know, I took what you gave me and I multiplied it for your kingdom, I'm looking forward to that moment when you accept me and say, well done. That's not pride. That's not arrogance. That's believing Him. That when I invest in His kingdom, when you invest in His kingdom, we absolutely get to look forward to His well done. And it just so happens that a few other people who've been impacted by that choice will also be saying, well done. We've talked about this passage in the past, but in Psalm 116:15, I think it is, where God says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And that recognition that you get to anticipate the day of your death is a day of celebration for God. That because He's so delighted to finally have you in His presence with nothing in the way, no doubts, no guilt, no sin, no condemnation. He's so looking forward to being able to bestow on you that judgment of well done, good and faithful servant. He's looking forward to it, and that should energize us. That should motivate us to say, then I want to prepare for it to be that kind of day for me as well. That I look forward to it. Now, we're going to go ahead and end here, not because I don't want to talk more, but we will come back next week and we will continue with Romans 8. But let's pray together. Father, I do thank You that You have called us and then equipped us, each one of us who belongs to You, to be powerfully productive in your kingdom. And Father, we don't have to look far afield to see how that's possible. We just have to look right in front of us and right beside us, right behind us. That right here in our hands, Father, I possess everything I need as your son. That everyone here who has trusted in Jesus Christ possesses everything they require as a son or a daughter to multiply the profitability of your kingdom here on planet Earth. To just offer you what's in their hands and watch you accomplish miraculous things with it. Father, I pray that we would look forward to the day of our death. Not because we're morbid, not because we're miserable and we can't stand to be here anymore. But because we are joyful in uniting with you that we do your kingdom while we're here on planet Earth. We do your kingdom with the choices that are in front of us and the resources that are in our hand. We just do your kingdom. Father, I pray for myself and I pray for each one of us here that you would strengthen our vision. You'd give us a larger vision to see every choice, every relationship as an investment you've made in us that we now return to you so that you will be delighted, so that lives will be touched. Father, so that your kingdom will grow. You are the living God. We belong to you. We choose your kingdom with you. We choose your kingdom with you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.